Who knows the end? What is risen may sink, but a sunk may arise. Loathsomeness waits in dreams in the deep, and decay spreads over the tottering cities of men.
You're listening to Cthulhu and Friends, featuring Stacy and Mike. I am your game master, Veronica.
Hey Creepers, thanks so much for another amazing year of support and listenership to Cthulhu and Friends. I am your game master, Veronica. Actually, I'm not. Today, I'm just another human being that is thankful for you, thankful for my family, my cast, my friends, all of you. You're all amazing and great, and I just appreciate your support. So today, I wanted to give you something that I have never done before. I am going to give you some backstory into a really important NPC. So as many of you know, we did an audition for our new player, and we're going to be going on to phase two of the auditions pretty soon. And in phase two, this NPC is going to be a pretty important character. And then when we begin volume two, this character will reappear and will probably be a vital character going forward. If she were in like the Austin Powers movie, she would be Basil Exposition. So just giving you guys that. Okay. And the character that I am talking about is the Keeper of Lost Things. Hello, young man. So I wrote this story, it's a super short story about the Keeper of Lost Things for a creative writing class that I had to take a couple semesters ago. And it was really nice because it kind of forced me to really flesh out the character of the Keeper of Lost Things, who had been in the back of my mind since probably late season two or so, maybe a little bit before that. But I didn't really have the time to dedicate to fleshing out that character yet because I had a lot of other characters that I was trying to work with. I mean, not only the cast and helping them get to where they want to be, but also getting my NPCs fleshed out to a point where I feel like they're real people and, you know, they exist. So anyways, the Keeper of Lost Things was really on the back burner for me. And so when I took this class, it really forced me to talk about her a lot. And she ended up being the focal point of this entire semester. So all of my writing exercises were either about her or in some way related to her. And this was just kind of my introduction to her in that class. And so I wanted to share that with you so you could understand a little bit of her origin story. Ezra Jean Campbell is a sheepish girl. Her hair is mousy brown. Her eyes dart from one thing to the next. And the air around her always seems anxious, as though it's afraid that Ezra will swallow it up, and instead of exhaling, she will somehow snuff it out of existence. Ezra is ordinary in every single way, except that she has a knack for finding things. The first person to notice Ezra's special ability was her grandpa, just a few years back when Ezra was just getting good at riding her bike. Grandpa was a forgetful man. He was always losing things and tools. The most common position to find him was standing at the front door with a bewildered look on his face, scratching his head. His next words were always asking himself where he'd placed that thing that he needed. Grandpa farmed, and Ezra's mama and daddy lived in the small house with him. Ezra's daddy hadn't been able to find work anymore, and he complained that he wouldn't until they got that devil out of the Oval Office, but Ezra didn't know what that meant. Times were very hard. But since Ezra's little family had moved in with him, Grandpa had one relief that he had never known. He never lost anything. It didn't matter if Ezra was in the same room with you, or if she was off with her mama all day long. As soon as you asked her to help find something, she could hone in on it like a hound after a rabbit. She didn't smile much, but when she found the thing you were looking for, her smile lit up the room. Grandpa liked that. He thought it was unnatural how she didn't smile often.
"Girl ought to try to be happy," he said to her parents.
Ezra's parents would smile and nod, but they knew Ezra was happy. In her own way, she was very happy. About a year after Ezra's mama and daddy moved in with Grandpa, it finally dawned on Grandpa that he could test Ezra. After dinner, while Jane, Ezra's mama, was doing dishes, Grandpa took a small framed photo of his late wife and tucked it into a small ledge right in the chimney. He removed a brick, stuck it in there, put it back. You couldn't tell at all. He did all of this while Ezra was washing up for bed. That night, Ezra, who was tucked under her mama's arm, sleeping as deeply as one of those old dogs on the porch, was awakened by Grandpa.
"Izzy? Izzy, wake up!"
Grandpa whispered, with a little bit of force in his voice. Ezra mumbled as she forced her eyes open to meet the gaze of Grandpa's soft blue eyes.
"There you are,"
he whispered, with a great deal of muffled excitement.
"I need your help, Ezzy. See, I lost that old picture of Granny. You know the one I love so much. You know, the one on the mantle in the round gold frame."
"But you didn't lose it, Grandpa."
"Oh, but I sure did," he interrupted.
"No. Remember, you put it in the fireplace."
Ezra let out a long yawn.
"I did,"
said Grandpa, feeling stupid for not realizing that the girl probably spied on him in front of the bathroom. Ezra gave a sleepy smile and turned over to snuggle up right under Mama's chin. Grandpa's lips pinched together and he nodded his head slowly. He decided to try again tomorrow. As Grandpa settled into his own bed, just as his eyelids were getting heavy, too heavy to lift, he remembered something that truly was lost. A gold pocket watch. One his wife had given to him after her father had died. Grandpa had lost it on the train ride to the city a few years after she had given it to him. How he had grieved over that watch. As the old man's neck loosened and his head grew heavier, the corners of his mouth turned up in a grin as he imagined seeing this old artifact from many years ago. At breakfast the next day, Grandpa asked Ezra if she'd seen his old pocket watch.
"Oh, it's a very special watch, Ezra. I shined it every day. I had it, and it had the initials R.D. graved on the back."
He sucked in a shaky breath.
"Those were the initials of Grandma's daddy."
His eyes brimmed with tears as he remembered Granny's face the day she gave the watch to him. Ezra looked at him blankly while she chewed her eggs. She looked at Grandpa so seriously that he had to look away for a moment to keep his wits about him. At times like these, Ezra was just too strange for him to hold eye contact.
"Okay, Grandpa. I'll look in a little bit,"
she said between bites. Satisfied, he nodded and turned back to his own breakfast. His mind reeled at the thought of his granddaughter somehow finding this long-lost treasure. He took his time eating his breakfast. When Ezra had finished her last bites of egg and toast, he gathered up the plates and he carried them to the sink.
Jane had always admonished him for helping in the kitchen, but the habit was old and hard to break. He had always washed dishes for his late wife, and he didn't mind helping. The cook doesn't clean up the mess, too. I enjoyed every last spot, and I'm a happy man, and I'll do the dishes. It's what he said every morning. And so it was that Grandpa had been the dishwasher for 42 years. For a few minutes, he closed his eyes and he let his hand enjoy the peaceful task. The water was warm against the back of his hands and it softened his calluses. Perhaps that's why he enjoyed the task.
Grandpa?
A voice interrupted his tranquility. It was Ezra. And now it came to it. Just now. He found it nearly impossible to open his eyes. In the next moment, he would be right or wrong, and neither of those options were good. If the watch was there, what was Ezra? Was she some sort of witch or sorceress? If there was nothing, he would feel ashamed for having tested this innocent girl, and also, if he was being honest, he'd be disappointed to find out that she was just Ezra, plain and timid Ezra. Ezra finally placed her hand gently upon his arm. She cocked her head up to see the front of his face a bit better, furrowed her brow, and then suddenly raised her right brow high. She parted her lips to say his name one last time. "Yes, Ezzy," he said as his eyes still closed, his hands plunged in the warm dishwater.
"I think I found your watch, but I wasn't sure if it was the right one or not."
Grandpa's eyes popped open and looked at Ezra. Sure enough, she was standing right beside him, holding 3 gold pocket watches. Grandpa sucked in a quick breath and then let out a low whistle. "I believe that's the one," he said, as he pointed to the one on the left. It had the small gouge in the lower right-hand side of the cover. He had accidentally caused the gouge when he forgot to take the watch from his pocket before helping a neighbor take down a tree. Ezra's face lit up with excitement. Her cheeks were the color of sun-kissed apples. Grandpa had not noticed that before. "Ezzy," Grandpa whispered, and he placed his soapy wet hands on Ezra's shoulders and bent down to meet her eyes. "Can you show Grandpa where you found these?" The girl's face darkened and her smile faded. "Oh, Ezzy, don't be scared. Grandpa believes you." He drew her in close to give her one of the big bear hugs that she liked so much.
"I know, it's just that..."
Ezra's little feet shuffled beneath her.
"It's just that I don't know if I can. And even if I can, I don't know if I want to tell you."
Her voice was muffled a little as she buried her face deep into Grandpa's shoulder. Grandpa nodded his head. He knew then that he had pushed her too far and perhaps too fast. She was not of this world. Of that, he was finally sure. Grandpa picked up Ezra and began to walk to the living room. But as he walked, he slipped the pocket watch on the counter in his pocket. There was no sense in bringing attention to her mama and daddy about this. They'd find out soon enough. Ezra cried, soft and low, into Grandpa's chest until the poor girl found herself asleep. And Grandpa, he rocked her in the rocking chair, the same one he had made for Granny many years ago. It wasn't long before she too had nodded off on this lazy Saturday morning.
Hey guys, this is Stacy. It is American Thanksgiving 2017, and we here at Cthulhu and Friends are taking a break from the usual kind of content to talk a little about what we're most thankful for. First, I want to get a little sappy and thank my husband for his unconditional support. He is my rock, my best friend, my confidant, and the love of my life, and without him, I would probably survive, but life would be a little less everything, really. I'm thankful for my baby brother, Dustin, who is likely listening to this. You're a shithead, but I'm glad I didn't actually manage to kill you when we were kids. And of course, the rest of my family and friends, who are basically family. Caleb and Tressa for being the best fucking people, and they're going to be amazing parents. I cannot wait to meet the waggling. Beth, who is a never-ending fountain of love, support, and trust, and to my calf crew, who have put up with all of my bullshit and mad antics, and somehow you guys still want me around, and you're crazy. But this journey is only getting started, and I'm excited for our futures, not just in podcasting, but in life. Getting to cheer you guys on through life as you tackle your goals and dreams is a blast. And last, but definitely not least, I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. The one listening to this right now. The fact that you're hearing this, that you took time to listen, that you give a damn enough to care what we have to say in or out of the game, means the world to us. I know we tell you that a lot, and we try to show it through our actions as well, which I hope that shows, but this podcast is what it is because of you. It will become something better because of you. Your interactions with us, your input, your jokes, your friendship, it shapes and molds us all, and we become better for it. So, thank you for being you. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and if you don't celebrate it, I'm sorry, but I just hope you have, like, a really great day and weekend. Yes. Thanks, you guys.
Hey, guys and gals, Mike Lane here. I just wanted to wish you a happy Thanksgiving from the Lane family and, of course, the Calf crew. You know what I'm thankful for? That obnoxious screaming background noise from episode 3. Yep, little Jonathan's still going strong, and his big sister Carter continues to grow more beautiful every day. I'm also blessed to have a wonderful, wonderful wife, Melissa, who puts up with all my bullshit and lets me podcast. But outside of that, I'm very thankful for my friends here on the show and all of you creepers. I hope you all have a kick-ass Thanksgiving, or, at the very least, a great 23rd of November, the year of our Lord Cthulhu, 2017.
It is the third Thursday of November. You know what that means. All you Yanks celebrating holiday at the wrong time, he says as a Yank living in another country who still hasn't moved past permanent residence. Whatever. It is Thanksgiving. Or is it Thanks-creeping? Creeps-giving? Not too. You know, we don't really need a specific name for it. We just need to say thank you to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. You know, this past year, it's no secret that we've had our fair share of struggles as a cast, both individually, as a group. It's been tough. You know, when you lose two people at the table, it's real tough to figure out how that game progresses. And I think, I want to believe it's a little bit more difficult for us too, just because we are a fairly in-depth lore-based podcast, and it's tough to bounce back from, to be sure. But before we get into all that trauma, I just want to say that I am extremely thankful to have had the experience to work with these people throughout my time with CAF. It's been incredible. I've made no qualms, made no secrets about it. Like, this cast has kind of changed my life in a lot of good ways. I've made some amazing friends, not just in the cast, but the community that surrounds it. I continue to meet incredible people as a result of it, and that wouldn't be the case if it wasn't for the cast of Cthulhu and Friends. You know, each and every single person who has been a part of the show has had such a huge impact on my life. And I'm not even just talking about the cast at that point. Like, you know, take people like Kim Stonick, Beth Treadway, for some of the incredible art that, well, all the incredible art that they've given us throughout our time. And Dave Strait, who... I mean, maybe a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, but that man has given me some very sagacious words of wisdom that have helped me out through some weird times. And even more so, well, no, I guess not even more so, in a larger scale, I guess, he's also been the keeper of the fuck counts. And you know what kind of an impact that has on the show and how much fun that is for me. So, you know, if you have ever done anything to help this show reach, well, I guess not airways, but the internet tubes for people's consumption, seriously, it is incredibly appreciated from me. And now, going back to the issues that we've been facing, inconsistency and losing two cast members, it's tough to bounce back from that, but I think we can, and that is in no small part to all the submissions we've received from the casting call of Cthulhu. Dear Lord Creepers, you guys came out in droves. I was expecting maybe 20, based on, you know, what people know about the show, you know, how we record, how professional we try and keep things, and how stern it can get. We were over 100, and there is no shortage of genuinely good talent. It's like, it's so difficult to pick, and I'll hear one audition and be like, This one needs to move on to the next round. But then 2 seconds later, it's like, oh, wait, no, this person's just, if not better. Trying to figure that all out is daunting. But the second I saw the first audition come in, a huge smile hit my face. And then the next one did. And the smile got bigger. And it kept getting bigger until physically it was impossible for it to get bigger. Then I had a couple of days with some crazy work stuff where, you know, I wasn't able to look at the auditions, so that smile kind of faded away. But then there were more auditions, and I came back even more renewed. Going through all of them has been incredible, and, you know, I plan on thanking you each individually and having at least some, you know, at least short-term dialogue about the audition, any questions you may have from my viewpoint on that. Because we're all going over this. We've got 4 different sets of ears and 4 different minds evaluating it. I can only speak for myself. But honestly, each and every single one of you who took the time, thank you from the bottom of my heart. That's incredible. And on a larger scale from that, thank you all the creepers in general. Like, if you don't release content regularly, especially in this day and age where there is no shortage of media out there for people to choose from, it's very easy for somebody to drop you off their radar. And when we announced our first release back, there was some good response, and it feels like the creeper community has stood by us. God, I don't even want to think about how long it had been from the previous release. That's, it floors me It absolutely floors me, and your continued faith and support of this show is so touching, personally. I'm starting to well up a little bit thinking about it. I can't thank you for every single Twitter comment I've gotten about Calf. I can't thank you in the Discord or any direct comments through some stream or interaction that we may have had. Any bit of interaction with me about the show is just like, it makes me happy to know that I'm part of something that means something to a bunch of people, and is part of such a wonderful community. Because, you know, granted, this extends to the Geekly community on a whole, but I can't think of a time I've been a part of a more supportive and welcoming community as Geekly and the Creeper community have been. You know, we may not always agree with each other, but we're damn sure going to respect each other's opinions, and fuck, that's awesome. So as a final note, I will say I am also super thankful we are being given another chance to bring you new quality content, and we don't want to screw that up. Now, there's a long time between the end of the Casting Call of Cthulhu and when we will pick the official new member of the cast, but doesn't mean we aren't going to be giving you content along the way. There's some awesome stuff we have planned, and I know we've talked about this before, but there is some serious progress being made. We just got permission from this collective of stories that, let me tell you, I personally am so excited, so unbelievably excited to bring to you. I'll say it right now, Lovecraft is fucking hard to read. A lot of it is monotonous droning, and it's pacing is kind of all over the place. I mean, the guy was a Pulp Fiction writer. He had incredible concept. He was George Lucas, incredible concept. So didn't have somebody slap his hand saying no, you know? But this new content that we're coming across is only part of a larger whole of what we have planned for you and for ourselves. And once we get that to you, I hope it gets you as psyched and as jazzed and as pumped about everything as I am, and as I am certain the rest of the cast is. Now, in traditional Hiroshi style, I have definitely rambled on a holiday release. This is what, already over 10 minutes? Screw it. I love you guys, and I don't get the chance to really be a part of the, you know, vocal part of the cast regularly. And I'm going to use my position of power as editor on this to go ahead and say, screw it. This is my time. I'm going to keep going with it. Fuck it, I'm going to be that sentimental sap. I hate doing it sometimes, but you know what? Spread that positivity around. It's going to come back to you, because I have been in some dark places in my time. And since I've joined this community, I've tried to be a better beacon of light, I guess. And it's come back to me tenfold because of you. So thank you all. Love you. And I cannot wait to get you more content.